Stewardship. It's kind of a churchy word, but what does it mean? This is stewardship plain and simple. Meet John. He loves to play golf, eat Italian, and go to the movies. He has a house, a car, and a job that pays the bills. In his free time, he catches up on the latest game, and he plays his guitar. So here's where stewardship comes in. Everything John has, from his TV, to his car, to even his ability to play guitar. Well, none of it actually belongs to him. Are you ready for this? From the little things, all the way to the big stuff, like his house, it all belongs to God. You're a steward of everything God gave you. It's a privilege, and He expects you to be responsible, not just with your finances, but your time, talents, and toys. So what does it mean to be responsible? Well, like hosting a Bible study at your house, or using your free time to visit someone in the hospital, or how about giving money to an out-of-work friend? It's all stewardship. So when it's time to give back, say the plate gets passed, or the children's minister asks you to serve in the toddler's room again, think to yourself this one simple question. Does what I have belong to me or God?
All right. In case you hadn't noticed, this is the annual stewardship message. So we're going to talk a little bit about stewardship this morning. This past week has been very difficult for the church family here at Bethel with the news of the arrest and the fraud and the embezzlement that was involved there. And I've always known that whenever you want to trace a criminal activity or a misuse of funds, the saying is, follow the money. You've heard that expression before, follow the money. And frankly, that's what happened with us, is that we followed the money through the audit, the internal audit that we did. And so you see, it's about money. But today's stewardship message is not about money. Well, not totally. It's not really about money. It's about something much, much more important. I want to read you a passage of Scripture from Matthew's 22nd Gospel, 22nd chapter of the Matthew's Gospel. And Jesus is confronted by some Pharisees this week. You'll recall last week he was approached by some Sadducees. You remember why they call them Sadducees? They didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. Okay, got it. Anyway, Jesus is confronted this week by some Pharisees. And I'd like for you to read along, or you don't have to read it out loud, but I'm going to read the scriptures for you this morning. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is on this and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." And then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week, you'll recall, the Sadducees tried to set Jesus up with a trick question. They were asking him, remember, about the seven husbands who all died, married to the same woman, and then the resurrection, whose wife would she be? Well, they have another trick question for Jesus this week. And they're trying to set a trap for Jesus to discredit him. Jesus, you see, had been around Jerusalem, the Holy Land, Palestine, talking about the Pharisees and how they were, well, let's just say, blind guides. They were misleading the people. They were hypocrites. They were like whitewashed tombs. They did not have the people's best interest at heart, and they were in cahoots with the Romans. So Jesus had very, very, very little good feelings for the Pharisees. They took advantage of orphans and widows. And so we're not seen to have much respect from Jesus. Well, the Pharisees, with all of that having been done, decide to strike back at Jesus. And they ask him one day a very loaded question. But they preface it with some very sugary sweet words. Did you see what he said? What they said? Teacher, we know that you're sincere. You teach the way of God. You show no partiality. Tell us. And here's the big question. Is it lawful to pay taxes? Is it lawful to pay the tax to Caesar, to the emperor? Talk about a loaded question. Think about that question for a moment and the implications of a yes or no answer. If Jesus had said, no, we should not, God's people should not pay the tax, what do you think would have happened to Jesus? Try not paying your income tax. Yeah. You know what would happen. Jesus would be arrested immediately as a traitor and hauled off into Roman jail. What if he had said yes? What if he had said yes, it is lawful to pay the tax? Then who would he tick off? The people, the Jews, the Hebrew people. Why? Because they would see Jesus as a glorified tax collector. And he would lose all credibility with the people. So, Jesus is on to them. He's seeing right through their question. And he answers the question with a question of his own. First he says, show me the money. Show me the coin. And they hand him a denarius. And a denarius was the monetary equivalent of a day's wages back then. They shared that with him. And he lifts it up and he asks them a question. He says, whose picture is engraved on this coin? And of course, they said, Caesar. And then he answers their question. He says, then give or render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God the things that are God's. Well, that stumped them. How do they respond to that? Because it's true. Yes, the money belongs to the government. Give to the government what belongs to the government, he says, but remember to give to God what belongs to God. Well, they had no answer for that. They left Jesus alone, and they asked him no more questions. Say that last part with me again. Give to God the things that are God's. Say it with me. Give to God the things that are God's. Say it with me again. Give to God the things that are God's. The Pharisees were not doing this. They were not giving God what was due to God. They were, in fact, causing problem between the people and God. You see, they were serving themselves and not God. They were looking out for their own hides. They went about praying in public, wearing their flowing phylacteries and taking the best seats in the house and ignoring the poor, the widows, the orphans. It was all about them. It wasn't about God and not giving God his due. And that begs the question, what is due God? What do we owe God? What is rightfully God's? Well, when we talk about stewardship in the church, generally we talk about money. We think about money anyway. And we talk about the biblical standard of what? 10%, the tithe, the first fruits. Jesus could have focused totally on the tithing piece, but he does not. And I'm not either today. For you see, Jesus couldn't say anything about tithing because guess what? The Pharisees were some of the best tithers around. They tithed their income. They gave. They even gave 10% of their spices, the cumin, the mint, and the other produce of their hand. They were good tithers. So Jesus was not talking about tithing. So what was he saying to them? What was the real message here to them and to us? Yes, tithing is important. That is the biblical standard. We all know that it takes money to run the church. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. Remember, a lot of people misquote that. It's the love of money. Money is a good thing. Money is a good thing, and it is a gift from God, because it is with money that we can help the hungry, feed the poor, send missionaries overseas, establish food kitchens, and all kinds of wonderful things with money. You like heat, don't you? I like it. I like air conditioning. I like lights. I like a comfortable church when I come to worship. I like the music. I like the Sunday school. I like everything about the church, but it takes money.